subconscious mind holds so much inside of us. And as we release it, our world changes. And my dad was very short-tempered, so I was very used to walking on eggshells. Both my parents were alcoholics. I woke up one day when I was 19 and found my mother dead on the bathroom floor. And that was like the big trauma. But I was programmed, as many of us are, just to suppress everything and carry on with life. And that's what I did. So I didn't know that all that trauma was still affecting me.
Welcome to the New Age Human Podcast, where we have inspiring conversations with spiritual entrepreneurs in the areas of mindfulness, longevity, and innovative technology. I'm your host, John Astacio, and I'm on a mission to help humanity discover our human potential so we can together create positive change. Remember, the journey starts within. Please like and subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. And with that said, let's get to the show. We have, I have a feeling we're going to go on a very interesting journey today with my friend here, Anne Hintz. She has the ability to fix herself with her mind. Like, that's, I had this whole fancy intro. I'm like, you know what? Let me just tell you what's going on here. She has x-rays to show the physical changes resulting from her inner work, including changing the alignment of her eye sockets, straightening her neck, the centering of her lower jaw, and the growth of her tooth roots. She also has grown 3/4 of an inch at the age of 56. I'm actually interested in that one a lot because I always joke around. I'm like, I still have more height to grow. If anybody knows me, I'm considered short. So without further ado, Anne Hintz, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Good. It's great to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. The second you popped up on my feed here, I just felt the feeling of being able to just be goofy and just being natural. So there's some really good vibe going on here. How about you?
Yes, I think it's going to be great.
Okay, so you can fix yourself. That's insane. Where did this start? Like, did you always knew you could fix yourself and you start doing it? Or did something happen and it triggered this, like, superpower, so to speak?
Absolutely not. I had no idea that what I can do now was even possible. Never even occurred to me. I was just looking for inner peace because I was so stressed all the time. I was so reactionary that I had to change. I knew I had to change. So that's what started my journey.
My goodness. So you said you were stressed and you were looking for that calmness. What was caused, before we get into what happened afterwards, what was causing, if you don't mind sharing, what was causing that stress?
Well, of course, at the time, I didn't know what was causing it.
Okay.
I had no idea how much my childhood was still affecting me.
Mm.
But I had lots of things in my childhood that, you know, potentially could affect me and did. And my dad was very short-tempered, so I was very used to walking on eggshells. Both my parents were alcoholics. I woke up one day when I was 19 and found my mother dead on the bathroom floor.
Oh, my God.
And that was like the big trauma. But I was programmed, as many of us are, just to suppress everything and carry on with life. And that's what I did. So I didn't know that all that trauma was still affecting me.
Wow. And how old were you when you discovered that that was affecting you? And was that a suppressed memory that came up?
It was my late 30s.
Hey.
Took a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an event. It was what I call a business altercation with two other mothers at my boy's school. And they told me I had done something wrong. And I could not stop my mind spinning. It just went over and over. Everything I'd said, what they'd said, what I did, what I could have done differently, I could not stop it spinning for 3 days.
Whoa.
And at the end of that, that's when I realized, okay, this is not normal. And it also made me realize it felt a little bit like how I would react when my dad would tell me I'd done something wrong. So that was the first little opening, little inkling that maybe my childhood was still affecting me.
Mm. So yeah, this altercation and you're like, that, oh, that's interesting. It's almost like it was building up And then it took that what is it, the needle that broke the camel's back, or the straw that broke the camel's back. You were just kind of like simmering. And I feel a lot of us are at that part, or have the potential to be there, you know, just like just that last nerve.
Right.
And then a great awakening.
We're so filled up with all this tension that we haven't released. So it just takes one thing to set us over the edge. And then, yeah.
So you went home and, you know, your mind was racing. And then how did you find that place of just release?
Well, that was the kind of point where I knew I had to do something, but mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do. And it was in that time frame that I went to a doctor's appointment. And he was a holistic physician, so he had more tools in his toolbox than many doctors do. And he knew I was stressed. He recognized that I was stressed. I wasn't going there for stress. I don't remember why I went to see him. But he recognized I was stressed because I was a stay-at-home mother with two healthy young boys, so it shouldn't have been too bad. I know having kids is not easy, but I was more stressed than I should have been. And he asked me on a scale of 0 to 10 what my stress level was. And I said 8. And then he asked me why. And it was that question that made me realize, oh, it was finding my mother dead on the bathroom floor when I was 19. Because the tears from that event, which was 2 decades prior, were still just under the surface all those years later. I hadn't dealt with it. And he happened to know this technique that is called EFT, which is short for Emotional Freedom Technique. It's also called tapping, because mm-hmm. we're tapping on meridian, the ends of meridian systems, as we're talking something through. So he tapped with me about my mother's death for about 15 minutes. And I walked away with that from that appointment, being able to tell the story of her death in my mind for the first time ever. And that's when I realized we hold all those memories and those emotions physically inside of us, and that we can let them go. And mm-hmm. that was eye-opening for me. That was the beginning.
Wow. So you were tapping alongside, like you were tapping yourself, and he was he was pretty much directing you on that tapping experience, right?
Right. It's always the same points that we tap on with EFT. So you just have to learn the points, and then the words become important, because the words you use bring up the emotions in the body, mm-hmm. and the tapping releases the energy from the nervous system. Mm-hmm. So he tapped on himself while I tapped on myself. He just showed me the points. And we talked through finding my mother. We talked through that event. And then we went back to the beginning and we talked through it again. And each time you do that and you tap through it, the subconscious mind starts to open up. So more details of the memory become available to us as those deep emotions start to release. So I didn't undo the whole event just in that 15 minutes with him. I actually went home. I learned how to do it myself because it was given away by Gary Craig for free. So anyone can learn it online. I learned everything I could. And I actually wanted to try it out. I tried it out because I have an engineering background. I was a software engineer. I like to know something works, and I don't want it just to be one-time fluke. So yeah. I had a 17-year-old cat at home at the time, and his kidneys were starting to fail. So we'd been told we had to give him a daily saline shot, like an injection of saline solution. And I hated needles. It was so scary for me. My hand was shaking. It's like, it was just, I knew I couldn't do it every day.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, let me try out this technique. So I did. So I tapped about it, and I tapped about every aspect of it, which is something you do with EFT. So I tapped about my hand shaking. I tapped about my fear of hurting my cat with the injection. And I tapped about all the memories from all the injections I had had in my lifetime. And the next day, when I gave him that shot, the needle just slid right in. Hmm. All of that fear that had been living inside of me the day before had totally gone. So that's when I realized that the freedom I was searching for inside, that inner peace, was on the other side of all those emotions, all that fear that I'd been storing inside of myself. And that's when I really started to use it on a daily basis.
I thought you were going to start tapping the cat real quick.
Well, people do that.
That's very interesting. So moving forward, I want to start getting into the physical changes that you had, because I know that we started with that, and I'm pretty sure it's a lingering thing that people are wondering about. What was the journey on finding out that you can do the physical changes now?
Okay, well, I have to go through my story in order to get there, because it's all about expansion or deepening of self-awareness, right? So as I was doing this EFT work, I tapped through all my traumas. I went back, I wrote everything down, and I tapped through one each night for about an hour to an hour and a half each night. And my self-awareness deepened. So I became aware of my emotions first. Then I became aware of the physical sensations underneath the emotions. So like frustration, when we're feeling frustrated, we're actually holding tension inside of our body somewhere. And it might be different for each person. But for me, I can feel it in my ribs, in my solar plexus area. So we call that frustration, right? So we kind of dissociate from those physical sensations by using the word frustration. So we're going backwards in that process. We become aware of those physical sensations. Then I focused on the physical sensations themselves. I didn't need to use EFT. I just felt those sensations and they released, right? With focused attention, just on the sensations, not trying to change them in any way, just allowing them to be there, they would release.
That's like a Chinese finger trap scenario.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, where you have your fingers caught in this like little trap where it's like your pointer fingers go in and you have to, naturally you would want to pull them apart, right? So I'm thinking like the analogy with having something in your body that you feel that's not supposed to be there, naturally you're trying to get rid of it. And instead of that, you just let it be. And the finger trap, you just kind of let it be and just get it. You, instead of pulling it to get out of it, you have to go in to get out. So it's the way that it's structured. So horrible analogy if you don't know, but it's interesting how you just, again, that the theme of letting it be is very, it pops up a lot in these conversations with knowing yourself and being mindful. Right?
It is. But I think a lot of people still bypass it or suppress it.
Yes.
I've really tried to work out why I've been able to do what I have compared to other people who haven't, right? Because I haven't talked to anyone yet who is able to do what I'm able to do. And the key difference is that part. It's the accepting how we're feeling right now. Right. So even with EFT, like going through my mother's death, I'm bringing the memory back to my mind and the sensations in my body, and the tapping is just accepting them as they are, and that releases. So even right deep in my sight, inside my skull, which is where I'm working now, I just feel that tension and I focus on it. And when it's had enough attention, it releases.
Interesting. Interesting. It goes along the idea and understanding that specifically traumatic emotions, high emotions, get stored in the body if they're not dealt with. And you're identifying them and you're saying it's okay. Do that tension that you run into, when you feel that, wherever it is on your body, do you run into like a lot of pushback emotionally? Like does the emotion that's attached to that, whether it be anger, fear, hate, just a lot, you know, the negative ones, the one that it is maybe holding on to, do you have to face that when in your experience?
In my experience, yes. And it is only the negative ones that are stored in the body as tension. The positive ones are not stored the same way. So let me just quickly finish my story, the three kind of steps of my story, because that became so obvious to me once I got to that third step. So at the second step, I'm just feeling the feelings and allowing them to be. So it might be emotion, right? If I just bring a memory to mind that has emotions and I feel the emotions, that works too, right? And just allowing myself to feel sad or to feel frustrated. If I can focus on the tension itself, that's a deeper level of self-awareness. So I would do that. Once I'd done all my childhood traumas with EFT, I would lay on the sofa and I'd bring collective traumas to mind. Things like 9/11, right? Everything I went through there, the Loma Prieta earthquake that I was in. Just bring those memories to mind and just allow all those emotions that had been suppressed, just allow them to release. Felt really good because they'd been stored for a long time. At some point during that process of laying on the sofa, just doing this work, I realized I could keep my awareness inside my body as to the tension had released. Now, it felt very different, and I didn't know if I could do it a second time, so I tried, and I realized I could. And then I started to play. You know, I didn't know what I was doing, so I was trying to work out what I could do. So I realized I could move my awareness around inside, and I could find a place with tension versus a place with no tension. So I would find a place with tension, and I would focus on it. Now, this whole process, my ability to focus had improved, right? So I could focus more with a laser beam at this point. I would focus on it, just feel it, just allow it to be there, and it would release. And then I would do it again and again and again. Over time, I was able to put my awareness inside my head. It took many, many months, and it was crazy when it happened because the amount of pain and tension inside my left cheek was just unbearable. That's when I realized it had been there my whole life, because I was born with my right foot up against my right shin. So my whole body, my whole torso was twisted, torqued. And I think kind of that's where it stems from, you know, the twist is from my left cheek all the way down to my right foot. And that pain was so intense. And to realize it had been in my subconscious mind the whole time, but had not been aware of it. To maybe realize how much we hold inside as tension, as which is the negative emotions and the tension are kind of one and the same thing. They're totally connected inside. And it is all tension. We're just not aware of it at the beginning. Like we think it's a memory or we think it's an emotion, but actually inside it is a form of tension. And we can get to the place where we can recognize and feel that tension. And when we do that, when we're able to focus on the tension itself, the memory will just pop into our mind and just disappear because it was there. It was attached to the tension itself. So we can access it many ways, right? We can access it through the thoughts and the memories, through the physical sensations, or through the tension itself.
Wow. And have you ever gotten a memory that you didn't have that popped up?
No, they've all been mind memories. And they mostly come as place memories. So I know, something happened right there. But I don't necessarily remember what happened because I've released it. So what just pops into my mind is the place. And then it kind of just poofs, it just goes, disappears. Unless I write it down, I don't keep hold of it.
Right. Interesting. Letting it go. And is your journey and the tension and seeking the attention and that laser focus, is it visual for you? Is it auditory? Is it pure feeling? How is that?
It's an interesting question. It's definitely sensory. I mean, I'm actually seeing or sensing inside at this point. And I can tell the difference between light and darkness. So all this tension is darkness. And as it releases, it's already light underneath. So I know in spirituality, you know, in spiritual groups, people talk about light and the dark. The light's already there underneath. All we have to do is find the darkness, which is the tension, which is all our traumas and our memory and our programming. Once we find that and acknowledge it, feel it, let it go, underneath is already the light. And that's why the positive thinking doesn't work. Because we're suppressing the negative, we're suppressing what we're actually thinking. And that's the darkness that remains inside. And we don't want it to stay inside. We want to find it and allow it to release.
Interesting. Okay. So you have this laser focus, you're releasing tension, you're playing, right? Your body's a playground and you're just kind of like, it reminds me of those movies where like, they shrink the spaceship and they're flying around, or the show The Magic School Bus. I can just see you in like this energetic school bus, just like, you know, beep beep, and just driving around. And it was a little dark over there, and you shine the headlights, and you're like, okay, that sucked. Okay, what's next?
Yeah, now I don't actually look for the darkness as such. I just find the place with tension. Like, where am I being called to? Where's that pain or the tension? that's where I focus. So I'm still working inside my left cheek. Hmm. And when I release tension in my left cheek, like my right neck will often crack.
Oh, wow.
Because my body knows where to release the tension. It's just calling me to the place that I need to focus on.
So what happens next?
Well, it's a deeper and deeper self-awareness, right? And knowing thyself at a deeper level. Mm-hmm. So I'm working inside my skull bones, working on, I'm actually releasing tension in the bones and in the tooth roots. And my jaw, it's amazing how much tension we store in our jaw. And every time I release tension anywhere, my neck also releases tension. Hmm. So our perspective, we think of our perspective as being, you know, our mental perspective. But what I realize is totally connected to our physical perspective. So as I'm able to release my neck so it can move in a different orientation, right, my perspective expands.
Yeah, interesting.
So I'm totally releasing my neck all the time, many, many times each day it releases. So I'm just going deeper and deeper inside of my skull.
Wow. Wow. So going back to what I said earlier, right? So that explains the straightening of the neck and now your lower jaw and the tooth roots. And I'm guessing that also is associated with, as you straighten out your spine, you get a little taller.
It's releasing the burden.
Yeah.
Right? The burden that we carry all its years. People tend to get shorter as they get older, right?
Yes.
And if you look at photos of someone young versus when they're older, their neck is often compressed because they're holding that burden down. So I think this is releasing that burden, which is allowing us to I wouldn't say retain our original height because I've never been this tall before. So it allows us to retain our natural blueprint, I guess, of the height we're supposed to be.
Wow. I'm like, my mind is like going different places. I'm like, after this work, you're going to have to get new pants, you know, new clothes. Things are just going to fit a little different, a different hat. Maybe your head gets bigger. Who knows? It's interesting. I'm listening to you as you say this. And I know I have a chiropractor appointment that's coming up today. And I'm going to be thinking of this as you cracks my spine and how you're at home just like bouncing around in your body and releasing stuff. So that is really cool. Wow.
Those are the sounds it makes. You know when the chiropractor moves your head like ready to crack it, and you kind of feel and hear all these noises inside. It's like the crinkling noises of things moving around. And yeah, my body does that itself. It's kind of weird.
and just talking with you and speaking with you, and you have a lot of really good energy. Like I can just, it radiates. And so I can visually and energetically through our conversation sense that you released a lot, right? Like talking with you is kind of like talking to someone that just got back from vacation, like the best one they possibly could have done. And they're just like, like refreshed, right? So it's interesting to kind of see the back end of that. And now let's get into more of, there's a couple of things we can talk about. How can, like, it seems like you got into this through tapping, but is there a way where you can help people do something like this themselves, where I guess you call it changing your signal or to attract different results? Is that associated with the other side of this? Like once you start realizing that, yes, our emotions and our experiences are really physically making changes to our bodies, how are you helping people with this new realization? Maybe that's a better question. How are you, now that you're able to do this, how are you helping other people?
I'm really just trying to get the understanding out there of this work, and that we can go deeper than we think we can go. In terms of the signal, you know, a lot of people talk about the law of attraction, mm-hmm. and I do believe that is a law, but I think that understanding is a little bit messed up. Okay. I don't think people realize how much all our past history is stored inside of us. And that is a part of our signal. I think everything about us is a part of our signal. I mean, think about it. If I shaved off all my hair and went out into society, I would experience different results, right? People would say things to me differently because my signal has changed. Right? If I suddenly gained 50 pounds and went out into society, I would receive different results. So that's just part of the signal. But the biggest part of the signal, and I know this because I've gone inside and it's like the tension is just amazing that we store inside. It's that tension that we store inside that puts us out of alignment. That is the biggest part of our signal. And we keep attracting things back into our future based on our signal right now. So if I'm really, really unhappy thinking about my past experiences, I'm going to attract that back into my future. So how do I change that? Well, there's two parts of that, right? I can change how I'm feeling right now. I can tap. I recommend tapping just because I know how powerful it is and bring myself back to peace right now. But I can also dig deeper into my past and change that tension inside of me. It's kind of like the string on the guitar, right? If it's out of tune, nothing's going to change, right? I'm always going to be playing a song that sounds awful. But if I go inside and I tune that string, and what I've realized is the tension that I'm searching inside, that I'm sensing through, is the connective tissue, right? Which are essentially strings inside of us. If I release the tension in that string and it's then tuned, then that's part of my signal. And I'm now in tune. I'm in alignment. And what I'm going to attract back is more of that.
Makes a lot of sense. What are your thoughts on acupuncture and the difference between that and tapping? I'm curious. That popped up in my head because that has to do with meridians and energy flow. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, tapping is a form of acupressure because we're tapping on the ends of meridian system. So they are somewhat aligned there. And acupuncture, I think, is a great tool. What I've realized over time is that I suspect we're all different on the inside. Mm-hmm. So where our connective tissue is tight, where it actually physically is inside of us, I think it's going to be different for every person. So I'm not entirely sure anymore how beneficial it is for everyone, because I think the points are probably slightly different for each person, but that's just what I think now.
Okay. Yeah. And tapping allows you to work and find it yourself. And that seems to be more, for obvious reasons, it's more you doing the work and then versus someone else, right? And then that communication is between you and yourself. And I think you can probably do more faster, but I see it, and you tell me what your thoughts are. I see acupuncture as like a good intro to the possibility of that, right? Like another, it's just another intro to understanding the potential of the body. And it's
it is, but as you said, you're right, it is someone else doing it. And even with EFT, there are a lot of EFT practitioners who use scripts, right? So they tell you the words to use. It's never going to be as powerful as us finding our own words, because it's our own words and our memories that are stored inside of us. Mm. So, you know, different words resonate with people differently. So if I'm using someone else's words and they don't resonate with me, they're not actually accessing what's stored inside. It's that resonance of the words where someone says, oh, yeah, that's what I think, or that's how I believe. That's when we've got the energy stored inside of us, and that's where the power is.
Meditation, that's inner work as well. And what I'm curious about your thoughts around meditation, because what you're doing is, when you're doing your tapping, when you're literally going within and identifying and being pulled to these places of your body that need attention and release, I see a lot of people go into meditation to help with just, again, understanding yourself, going within. I do the same, and I help people with the same, where you identifying the things that were suppressed. I'm just curious what your thoughts on meditation, and is it part of what you do, and all that.
Before I answer, do you meditate?
I do. And I'm working on doing more of it. It helps me be more present. And I am definitely one of those people that have a racing mind, and meditation helps slow that down so that I can see the world around me instead of just letting everything pass by and, you know, being asleep or just, yes. I'm definitely one of those people that use it.
Okay. So there's so many forms of meditation, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I never wanted to meditate. To me, it felt like a waste of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know the feeling.
What I realized with the EFT, right, doing that process, was my mind started to quiet anyway.
Mm.
Because I would notice the thoughts that I was thinking, and I would tap on those thoughts. And as I did, those thoughts would stop coming up because the energy underneath them was no longer there. I even remember opening my kitchen door one time and thinking, it feels like I'm living in a different reality, because all those thoughts that had been in my mind had gone. And that's when I realized those thoughts had been my dad's thoughts that I had heard in childhood, and I just took them on as my own, and my mind replayed them, but they weren't mine. And I could not see that until they had gone.
Mm.
So in many respects, it's somewhat akin to meditation, although I feel like this is getting it at a deeper level. Because sometimes when we're meditating, we're kind of ignoring, right? We're ignoring the thoughts that are there. We're letting them pass by. What I'm doing is grabbing them and working with them so they release, so they stop coming back up. So it felt like it was more of an active way of going about it. So people do say that they think I'm meditating when I'm doing my inner work, but I'm very busy because I'm not in my thinking mind. I'm in my sensing mind. I'm feeling and I'm focusing and I'm releasing, but I'm not thinking. I'm just feeling. So I'm not going out into imagination. A lot of people think I'm talking about that. I'm not imagining. I'm actually putting my awareness inside my body. I can sense it. I can feel it. I know it's moving around inside of me. So that's kind of a complex answer, but there we go.
No, I totally get it. I also know where you're coming from too, where when I was first introduced to the idea of meditation, I was like, but I'm not really doing anything, am I? And it's a good way to start that journey, right? To help someone start where they're at. And especially where I come from, you have those racing thoughts and it's just like zoom, 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 zoom. And you're like, I don't know what to do. And just for me, it's been a huge step to just let them go, you know, just let them fly by. And then yes, after a while, you're going to be like, well, you know, I see the same ones coming by, and you start to give them more attention. And that's where a lot of the work, like you said, stems from is it's good to, you know, separate yourself, but at the same time, acknowledge it. And I'm very visual, so I can see you just kind of like seeing memories fly by. And then all of a sudden you just like grab your foot from when you were like four. And you're like, get over here. What are you attached to? I know that's not at all what you're doing, but that's just the visual. And right. I wanted to share, you know, that's
now literally. Vipassana meditation is the closest that I have heard to what I am doing. And Vipassana meditation is where you scan the body and you notice the sensations there. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm just going to the place that calls my attention the most. Mm-hmm. And I'm focusing on it. I don't think they focus on it. I think they just notice it and then move on. Mm-hmm. I'm putting my attention on it to allow it to release.
Hmm. And I also like the analogy of opening the kitchen door. I've had that experience where it wasn't I don't know if it was the kitchen, but I just remember something as simple as running helps kind of, it's like, it's not the solution, but it's almost like if you've been drowning, all of a sudden you're not drowning anymore. And then you're able to see that like, oh, there's things around me that I didn't notice because I was drowning. And so that's how I see it, as when you were walking to the kitchen, I'm pretty sure it was a different kitchen. You had different, you took off the lenses that your father, that were the verbiage and the perspectives of the conversations that you listened. I'm having a hard time explaining it, but yeah, like basically, yeah, your father, right? You said your father and all the conversations and all the words would cloud your vision. And when things like that are gone, it's a different place, you know, instead of white, gray walls, it maybe the walls were always white and you're now able to appreciate the white part of the walls and like the littlest things. You're like, oh, that's pretty neat. I didn't know that it could do that, you know?
Right, we're taking off our blinders. We can see from a bigger perspective.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't realize or don't really get the idea that when we change ourselves, things outside of us change too. So once I, once I released a lot of my childhood traumas, I was much more peaceful. I was a more peaceful person. And so my family life was more peaceful because I had changed. I experienced a different part of my family as well. And that was really, really nice.
Right? Seeing the nice things about your family. I feel for you there, because I grew up thinking I have either no family or a very tiny, tiny, tiny family. And as I started to release and get into myself, I realized that there's a whole huge part of my family that I completely unknowingly disassociated myself with. And I'm like, now I'm at a place where I'm like, this is a huge family, and I'm still working on remembering names, because subconsciously I'm like, no, you don't have a family. It's tiny, it's small, it's non-existent. You know, you have a handful of people and that's it. And then, yeah, you start to see, you do some inner work, and now I'm like, this sucker is huge. I got some work to do. I got some catching up to do. And it's only growing because people are getting kids.
Right. Yeah, subconscious mind holds so much inside of us. And as we release it, our world changes. I mean, there's so much depth to life that I had no idea was even, you know, existed when I started this journey. I mean, it's everything about us. Once we have that awareness inside of us, we also have that awareness outside of us. Right? Mm-hmm. As within, so without is absolutely true. So if we're aware of where we're holding tension inside, or how well we're breathing, or any of that, we can also see that in others outside of us. When we do this in the work, we change from hearing just with our ears to be able to sense music inside of our bodies. Right. So that makes that experience of music so much deeper. But it also means when we're hearing a conversation, we can pick up nuances of the person that we're hearing it from that we weren't able to pick up before if we're just hearing with our ears. Mm-hmm. Right. And that is a depth to life that I certainly didn't know about when I started this work.
That's, you explain it so well. Yeah. You're listening with your body and not just your ears, right? It's like your ears are like your the first step. It's like, yeah, you're still using your ears for music. Psh, wait until you feel it with your body. And I'm curious, did your taste in music change? And are you able to identify maybe different parts of your body that are reacting to different types of music?
Yeah, I kind of like the feel-good music. There's a lot of music these days that's really harsh on the body. Yes. And I don't like that. But what I do now is I try and find where the barriers are, right? And release them. So I try and just notice that. So like I'll listen to the news now. For a long period of time, I didn't, because I had all this inner work to do. It was too much. Now I've cleared out so much that I'm looking for deeper healing. So I will listen to the news and notice what those emotions are, or where I'm feeling that, or the frustration it brings up. And I will work with those feelings to release at a deeper level.
Mm. I just remember something that I used to do, and I actually, no, I still do. When I was younger, I had a huge issue with my respiratory system, and then I would have a lot of issues with my sinuses. My nose would get clogged every winter, and I had, you know, a list of allergies, but I had to breathe through my mouth most of the winter months because my nose was just a lot of pressure. And it wasn't until I started being curious about the body and its ability to heal itself, or just hearing stories like yours, or just, you know, just different stories of like energy healing and the meridians and whatnot, I was thinking, I do feel pressure in my nose for obvious reasons. And I just remember I learned about there's pressure points on the corners of your nostrils. And when you push them in, I felt a lot of the pressure release. And I'm like, no way. I've been living how long and been dealing with this? And I could have just pressed corners and that's it? And it was out of desperation too, because I heard about it. But I was at this big conference and I was just like, all right, if I blow my nose one more time, it's going to get raw. Like, it's just bad. Like, I just can't keep filling up tissues like this. Like, come on. This is horrible. I did the pressure thing and it was like going away. And then I think what you'll appreciate is much similar, not as cool as yours, but my experience was, I'm like, that's the pressure is me pushing on it. What if I just mentally feel it and then feel it releasing? Like, what if I can just physically release it with my mind? And I started to, for me, it was more of imagining my nostrils as a tunnel and it's closed. And then just imagine the tunnel opening up. And then I also just felt it before I felt it, so to speak, the tunnel opening up with memories of what it was like in the summertime, where I can just, you know, do that without any struggle. And then it was freaky. I started to feel the pressure release and I'm like, this is nuts. And I think that's like my small itty bitty version of what you started to feel.
Right. That was
way
your business
back.
Altercation, right? You had to get to that place where you were desperate. Yes. Something different, and it opened to you. It showed you the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you keep going it's absolutely unbelievable how much tension we actually store in the bones behind our nose from our facial expressions and stuff. So that's what's conscious to you at this point. I bet there's a ton of unconscious tension in there that if you did this work would open up to you. It's not always pleasant, right, to feel that tension that's inside. But if you have the tools to work with it, that just gets you deeper and deeper.
And you know what? That reminds me, a friend of my mother's who was and probably still is big into personal training, and she did the CrossFit thing and all that. And when you put your body through a lot of that physical trauma and just like workout, just push, you get, you know, your body has to rebuild itself. And so she would go to get acupuncture, and they would put the needle in certain areas and she would just bust out crying. And that reminds me of what you were saying, where like, yeah, that's definitely a hidden emotion that was held, and working out to that extreme probably just tightened it even more, right? And so ironically, in needing extra help going through that and sticking the needle in, and it just rotating that needle, just like popping a balloon of emotions, I can only imagine people doing this work and just busting out crying. Like, you need some tissues next to you, because you're gonna just
yes,
bawl.
I think all those tears that we never shed in childhood, or indeed in our life, are still stored inside, and it takes pressure to hold them in. And once we release that pressure, they will all come out and they will eventually stop. You know, people sometimes get afraid. I remember getting afraid. It's like, God, are these ever going to stop? But they will once they've all been shed. And even that is such a releasing process, right? You actually feel lighter after we cry, right? Most people know that. So if you release those ones that have been stored inside from childhood when you were told, stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about, we feel the relief.
Mm. So moving forward, the future of humanity, we are incredible beings. And my question to you is, where do you see this in the future? Where do you see the potential of this knowledge? And what would you say is like your vision of what we can do with this and helping humanity? Because I know there's a lot of aspects that it can help with. I'm just curious, what are you looking forward to?
You're right. There are a lot of aspects to this. I absolutely think this work can change the world. I think we've been going in the wrong direction, right? We're either been suppressing all these emotions, or we've been expressing all these emotions, right? Getting angry with other people and right, yeah. Physical altercations. Whereas this is the middle road. This is noticing those emotions and feeling them and letting them go. And even through school, right? I saw something today about, well, we either learn about history or there are people suppressing history, right? We don't want to do either of those. We want to learn about history and we want to feel those emotions that come up inside of us and allow them to release. Excuse me. And that way we don't repeat history, right? So that's how we change our world, is we do this work and we take responsibility for everything that we're feeling inside of ourselves. And we release that and we come back to peace. And I think that once we're feeling peace, we're attracting peace. So we've all got to that place where we're feeling peace. That's our signal. And then we will attract peace into our future.
I agree a lot. I feel like we've been on a journey, and I'm like, as I'm talking to you, I'm like, can I just crack my neck? Can I get a little bit taller by the end of this conversation? That would be awesome. So as we come towards the end today, I want to give you a chance to share how the audience can connect with you, because you're doing amazing work. You're bringing to light something incredible. What are you working on now, and how can people connect with you?
Well, I'm very active on Facebook. I put a lot of information out there, so please follow me there. I've also got a Facebook group that I've just started up called On a Pathway to Insight. And A Pathway to Insight is the name of my book, because this is insight. I believe this is the original meaning of the word insight. It's inside or inward sight. So I am working on maybe putting on some retreats next year where some of us could get together and do this work on a daily basis and see how many changes we can make in a week.
Well, that would be cool.
Yes,
really cool.
So I have many ways you can connect with me. The best is probably Facebook, but I have my website, which is annhintz.com as well.
Perfect. Cool. Well,
and
thank
a Facebook
you for coming
channel.
On. Huh? What did
and
you say?
A a YouTube channel. So I've got demonstration videos there on EFT. So anyone can learn how to do this work on my YouTube channel.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. A lot of people are on YouTube now too, especially if it's visual. I'm a visual person. And don't worry about remembering everything and the spelling. Everything is in the show notes. Just click that link and you're good. You'll connect with our friend here. Thanks again for coming onto the show. I appreciate you. Lots of really good stuff shared here. And for anybody listening, you too can be a little bit taller and a little bit happier.
That was fun. Thank you.